Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Happy Friday and welcome in. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. May is 22nd days old. Well, let's reboot.
Here we go.
May is 22 days old. I can't blame this on you, Danny, although I can't wait to ask you what exactly happened. You sent a picture yesterday
of
a fresh shave. You had a mustache and a fresh haircut, and I was really hoping, my fingers were crossed, that you wouldn't still have the mustache today, but alas, I'm looking at Zoom, and there it is. Why'd you keep it overnight?
It's a mustachioed man. It's so the day that you were out, we talked about this on the radio program. I looked ahead to the horizon, and I said, uh-oh. I didn't see that much happening, right? We're talking about Major League Baseball. We're talking about the NHL. We're talking about basketball. July, right? I looked ahead at the end of May. I looked ahead into June, and I said, there might be a little bit of bleakness on the horizon. We need a little bit of show content. We need a little bit of spice in this dish. And so I said to myself, self, let's ask the fellas, what are they willing to do for show content? This is what I was willing to do, to put something ridiculous on my weirdly shaped, red-cheeked face that looked silly, to irritate my wife, have my kids be annoyed, to produce show content. Thommy wanted Brendan Dar initially to, or we talked about Brendan maybe dyeing his beard because he's got a touch of gray, Grateful Dead style, in the beard. Well, then Thommy came up with the idea that Dar maybe could grow the beard out so that Dar could be a full bearded guy. We didn't come up with a thing for Thommy, and we were going to try to pressure you into doing something for show content. So here's my contribution. I back it up. I have a weird looking Super Troopers mustache that doesn't look good on my face. No mustache looks good on anybody. This looks especially terrible on me.
Yeah, you look like Favre, pretty much. You look like you want a liter of cola.
Yeah,
it's not a good look at all. Also, the mustache, you kind of curl it around the edges of the lip as well.
I do.
So it's full, kind of bottom of the nose, top of the lip.
Mm-hmm.
But then it curls all the way down around the lip, underneath toward the bottom lip.
It gets to bottom lip level. It gets to bottom lip level. Yeah. So it doesn't flatten because I don't have the ability to have a flat across mustache, and I can't do like a tombstone thing where I'm like in an Arizona town in the 1800s where you could go really wide with it, because that you have to grow the last part of your mustache hair out for a long time so that you could twirl it with mustache wax. I can't do that. So I've got the Freddie Mercury curve down, and boy, does it look bad. Oh, is it a bad look?
So here's what I would compliment you on is your hair looks very good. Who cut your hair?
Oh, that's the wife. The wife did
so,
that.
I don't think you ever get to complain again about how scary haircuts are, or you don't get to walk in and know what you're going to say. Nothing matters. I mean, your wife during a pandemic is cutting your hair, and it's one of the better haircuts you've gotten. It's tight on the edges. I mean, it doesn't seem that complicated. Now, did she take scissors to the top or clippers, or what'd she do?
We didn't do scissors. I know now, I've got enough experience at age 40 where I go one on the sides. And the temptation for people that don't know how to do haircuts is to go, you know how you go vertical, and if you start to curve around with the curvature of the head, then you lose the ability to fade, right? You naturally want to just keep taking the hair off. So you start, as you go up, you start to go around the top of the head just a little bit, And I always encourage. I said, what you have to do is go straight up in the air, like you're painting the fence, like Daniel LaRusso under Mr. Miyagi's instruction. You paint the fence, you go up, then a little bit of natural fade occurs, and then we just took a six to the top. Instead of trying to go into nuance and get the bangs a certain way and a style.
So you took flippers to the top.
One on the side, six on the top. And it may be just what I do. I may just say that to people now. That may be what I go with. As a 40-year-old man, I may have found what I say to the barber.
Well, I also think this is a better haircut than you've ever gotten at a barbershop. And here's why I say that. My issue with your hair typically is your bangs. Your bangs are always too long. They're straight. You comb them straight out like a little kid, or they just kind of exist in front of the rest of your hair like a child would have. But this haircut you've got no straight bangs. Your hair doesn't look – you know how you have that, like, very thin hair?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Your hair doesn't look like that at all. It just looks like you've got – I won't call it a buzz cut. It's more of a, as you said –
but it's buzz-ish.
You look like you pulled me over because I was driving 9 miles over the limit.
Well, that's the mustache talking.
But that's also the hair talking. The one on the side with just a little bit of hair on the top of your head as a square on the very top of your dome, that's also a police officer bit. So if you were like a guard lower, you'd look almost like military approved. But, yeah, I'm telling you, Danny, I think this is as good a haircut as you've had in a long time. It's basically a high and tight with the top of it a little bit thicker. I'm with Dar on his description of the high and tight. But I think, number one, you learned what to say to the barber. And number two, this is a better haircut than you've ever gotten. So what I would do is I would never go to a barber again. I would just say, hey, Megan, it's time to cut my hair. And then she
won't
does
allow that.
One on the side, six on the top.
She'd be like, "This because it's such a pain to do like with the cleanup and everything." She would rather I pay the $20 to go to go to a barber and have them do it. But it is exciting. A big development from the pandemic is that I know what to say now. Right now, you can't style this in any kind of way. So let's say hypothetically, in the time before time, remember we would go out to dinner, like human beings would go somewhere.
Yeah,
like,
that was fun.
You'd put on what do they call it, pants. And like a, you could even, if you want to get wild, like a jacket, right? Like you would do television, you would wear a jacket or like a blazer or even like a shirt with buttons on it. Big deal, right? To do that and go outside the house. Haven't done that in a while. But you would go do that. You can't do anything formal with this haircut. You know what I mean? Like for day-to-day wear, it's good. I think it's fine. Like I'll roll around. I don't have to worry about it. I get out of bed and I do it with my kids and do whatever. But there's no escalation. There's no, oh, let me style my hair because it's a nice date with my wife or we're meeting friends. This is just it all the time. And the floor for this is much higher than an unstyled longer hair. Does that make sense where I'm going with this? But the ceiling's a bit lower.
Really,
I can't do anything
bad.
Really nice. But who cares, right? Exactly. It never really looks bad. But if my hair's a different way and I'm going to go style it to do something nice on like a Saturday night, I think I can make it look pretty nice, but I got to put product in it and do a whole bunch of different things. But the floor for that hair is way worse. Yeah, the floor is way worse. Like when I come in,
you just pull your bangs out straight forward over your forehead, and it's always awkward.
Well, they get puffy. I mean, it's awkward for you. So like, I come in without styling it or doing anything, and you get annoyed. That's the floor, right? The floor is way lower for that. It's a weird prospect.
So much better than that. Yeah, I think the hair is a jackpot. I mean, honestly, I want to commend you. I want to applaud you. I think the rest of your life improved with whatever happened yesterday with the one and the six. We'll call it the Stan Humphreys. This is the 16 haircut that you've got
it's
at this 16.
Point.
The mustache is an issue. I'm going to be honest.
Oh, it's
you.
A killer. Oh, it ruins everything. It ruins the aesthetic.
Here's what I've always been shocked by, and I've always wanted to ask our buddy Warren Sharp, and I've never had the guts to do it. Is his mustache a bit or is it real? Because people who have a mustache, like your mustache right now, there are thousands of men that walk around every day and that's just what they do. And you're doing it to be funny, hopefully for 24 hours. I'm not really sure what your game plan is or end game is or how long this thing's going to last. But a lot of people just do that as their facial hair.
I can't imagine doing this without a purpose.
Right, or without it being for fun, like as a bit. I find it crazy, and I'm borderline like always annoyed by mustaches. I look at them, and I'm like, why would someone do that? Why would you have that on your hair, on your lip by choice? But a lot of people do it Do you kind of feel the same way as I do, where you're creeped out by mustaches, or do you think it's like an acceptable, respectable way to do it?
The jokes write themselves. I mean, everybody, as soon as I post it, by the way, purposely doing it, knowing that this is, I don't look very good. I'm very aware of that, and that's hence the posting, right? So the people are like, oh, that looks terrible. I'm very aware of that. Thank you very much. And I'm inviting people to do the criticism. But it's the 70s porn stash, the cop jokes. I mean, whatever those things are, they write themselves, and everybody says the same jokes, and that's all well and good. I think it's hard to pull off. I think it's really, really hard. I think you got to thread the needle. I don't think anybody looks better because they've got a mustache. You know what I mean? I don't think anybody has gone, you know, he was a 5, now he's a 6.5 because of that mustache. Nobody's ever improved. There are a couple guys on this planet that don't actually look terrible with a mustache, but they'd probably look better with a beard. They'd probably look better clean shaven. It's very, very hard to do to pull the mustache off. The best you can do is not look that awful with a mustache. I think there are certain things on men that just don't improve your looks. The male ponytail and the mustache.
But I
those things have
saying,
never made someone look better.
Agree with that. Okay, but I'm going further. I'm saying, like, every guy who has a mustache shouldn't. Do you agree with that, or is that too far for you? Is that a bridge too far? I'm saying whoever has a mustache should either grow a beard or shave their lip. That's kind of my take on it.
Yeah, percentage-wise, I would agree with you. Percentage-wise, I'd agree with you. Again, I think the best you can do with a mustache is you don't look worse. And that's like a small percentage of the population. For the most part, you'd probably look better doing something else. So I guess that means I agree with
you. How long will you keep the stash, do you think?
That's a great question. I mean, I'm trying to get you guys on board with me to do something for show content so that we can have an update every day about one of my neighbors gave a double take and was very upset. Kids ran back inside. One of my sons is very upset that I have it. My wife doesn't like it. And I think it's fun for the show to be able to talk about something. So if nobody else does it with me, I'll just get rid of it, you know, within the next couple days.
Well, what are we I guess I wasn't here. I'll double down on this in a minute. But I guess my question is, what are we supposed to do? Also, I want to get into the NFL rule changes that could be coming, one of which came out at the very end of our show yesterday. We could be getting rid of the onside kick in lieu of a 4th and 15, must-have 15-yard play to get possession of the football back. Is that something people would be in on? Big show today at 10:30. Joey Kaufman, who covers the Buckeyes in Columbus for the Tribune. They have a plan in place to have 20,000 to 50,000 fans in the stands if they play this season. And at 11 o'clock, former Wizard and exceedingly entertaining NBA big man Jason Smith will be on the show. You're listening to G&D. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Remember, we are now working on the weekend. So, even though it's Friday, you won't have to wait until Monday to hear from us. I am hosting with Pete Medhurst from 9 a.m. to noon on Sunday. Are you guys on right after us?
Yeah, 12 to 3 with Johnny Flakes Allville. Lord of the Zings returns for its third episode.
Watch the Nationals virtual ring ceremony with G&D as well. So, after I do the 9 a.m. and you do the noon shows on Sunday, we're coming back Sunday night at 7 o'clock on Facebook Live. We're going to be watching and commenting on 106.7 The Fan's Facebook page as the Nats unveil and get their World Series rings. It's all brought to you by Paul Henry's Window Installation. Save 20% on windows and doors during the month of May. PaulHenry'sWindows.com. Pretty sweet deal, as this is the first time this will ever be done virtually. I mean, from a fan standpoint, you're getting better access to a ring ceremony than any fan base has ever had before, which is great. There's some speculation, and there's a report out there from The Athletic that some of the players are frustrated because not everyone's going to get their rings. So we'll be learning, as you guys do, who gets them, who doesn't, how this all works out. It's an unprecedented thing that's never happened before, so it's going to be compelling. We'll be together, Danny, on Sunday night at 7 p.m. for the Facebook Live. People can watch us and react with us and comment as they make their thoughts on what the Nats are doing with the virtual ring ceremony.
It's very cool. This is a new age, man. They're doing their digital thing. We're doing our digital thing to watch them do their digital thing. It's all going to be aired after the two-part. I guess we're calling it a documentary. I don't know what it is exactly. I don't have a better word than documentary. I just know that it's a bunch of footage about the Nationals winning the World Series, and I'm all in on it.
Maybe this is persnickety, and maybe this makes me annoying, and that's fine. I'm annoyed by how many people are bothered that it's called a documentary. Like, I saw a lot of people come out and say that, and now we're couching it when we mention it. Like, I don't know if it's a documentary or it's not a documentary. And I'm not poking fun at you at all. I'm saying you're reacting to the people who overreacted. But, like, right, a lot of people, particularly journalists, came out and were like, this really isn't a documentary if it's produced by the team. Whatever. We know what they mean. They're showing highlights. They're telling the story of the team from their perspective. Here's a word for it. A documentary. That's a word for it. They're doing a documentary. It's their version of it. Is a political, you know, is a documentary done by, like, Michael Moore on one side or some dude on the right side of the ledger? Not a documentary, because we've called it a documentary for years and years. Newsflash, that's pretty slanted. It's one way. It shows their side of the story. That's not a documentary anymore? We changing that terminology, too? I probably shouldn't care about this, but I wasn't on the air the other day when you were with Pete after this whole thing broke out where it's like, is it really a documentary if it's produced by the Nationals? Not important. Nobody cares. It's highlights. It's a story. Everyone needs to get over themselves a little bit. I'll just call it a documentary. That's what I'm going to call it. People can call it whatever they want. It's a documentary to me. Major League Baseball produced the last documentary. Was that a documentary? I'm sure it put Major League Baseball in a pretty good light. I mean, somebody benefited, right? So that wasn't a documentary because you didn't hire a third-party arbitration panel to make sure that the Astros and the Nats got equal time and that we talked about the flaws of the Astros. I don't remember them mentioning that the Astros cheated in that documentary. So is it still a documentary or it's not anymore? Like, how do we want to play that game? I couldn't believe the number of people that were going, well, is it really a documentary? Who cares? Who cares if it's a documentary?
Because I understand in the sense that I generally want, and we've talked about this a million times, I don't like teams controlling media, right? I think that's a slippery slope. I think that's bad. The same way I wouldn't want, you know, political parties controlling media or, you know, state governments controlling media. Those are the things that aren't great, right? I don't like the idea of the team owning the TV station or the team owning the radio station or whatever it is, right? So generally, I'm like, But care about this. Please care about this, people. And when a few people cared, I'm like, yeah, but shut up on this one. Do you know what I mean? Like, in general, I don't want it. But on this one, I don't care because the Nats won the World Series, and I just want to hear about that.
But I
just want to relive every second of it.
It's a documentary produced by the Nats. That should tell you everything you need to know. Just like Larry Michael doing his TV show about the Redskins, it's still a TV show. I mean, it's state-owned, state-run, so to speak. I think there's some context with those things that you can kind of sort out what you need to. We're all big boys and girls. We're all adults. But it is what it is. Like, how much diction do we need to learn to be able now to quantify everything? You know what I'm saying? Like, at what point can we just call things what they're called and people can make up their minds after the fact as to what it was? I'm sorry that it's a Curly W production. That's what they're calling it, by the way, is their broadcast entity or whatever. Cool. So Dan Colco will be all over it, and F.P. Santangelo will be talking about going 1-0 every day. That's what, we know what we're getting into. And guess what?
I signed up for that, please, yeah.
Give it to me. I want it. I want to see all of it. But, yeah, whatever you want to call it, you call it. I'll just be over here calling it a documentary. I'm looking forward to talking to Joey Kaufman at the bottom of the hour in just a few minutes. So he covers the Buckeyes. Are you plugged in on this story, Danny? They have released the idea that they are planning on having 20,000 to 50,000 people in their stadium. They normally have over 100,000. Some of these college stadiums are just bleacher seating all the way through or large portions of the stadium. So they can actually fit, you know, maybe 110,000, 112,000 or whatever it is, standing room only days in some of these stadiums. Mm-hmm. So the idea would be, even with social distancing, if people are wearing masks, which good luck getting everyone to comply with that at this point.
There's a bunch of college kids. They'll comply.
Well, not only that, there's a new video every day of, like, someone who's fighting with someone at the local grocery store because they can't go in or whatever. Mm-hmm. But long story short, they think they can get at minimum 20 and at maximum somewhere around 50,000 people in the stadium with this plan they've come up with. And they're serious about it. If it goes off, if somehow they can do it, A, let's say there's college football, B, you're able to even have fans come at all, and C, they pull it off, could be a model that other teams around the country, that other stadiums use. And that's why I'm so kind of enamored with this story, because mm-hmm. when most people are zigging and saying, no, we're not going to deal with that, they're zagging a little bit and trying to get creative here, which, you know, I give them credit for it. We'll see if it works or not. But in the meantime, I give them some credit.
Yeah, it's the everybody's just sort of saying why not, and they're saying, well, why? Let's see if we can figure it out. And I like that. And maybe it doesn't work. And maybe, you know, you try it the first time and it's bad, or you do run a couple models and it doesn't work. But again, I like the idea. I like that they're hoping to be able to do this. I mean, I think of the game that I went to this fall, the University of Texas, where that's how the stadium is. There were a million entrances, and you couldn't do this with 105,000 people or whatever the place holds. But could you have done it with 25, with 30? I think if they really worked it out, then maybe. I think maybe it would have been possible, honestly. So it's intriguing. I can't wait to talk to him about it.
Now, what I don't know, and maybe having been to Texas, you'd have a better idea here, is if you only have 20,000, is it possible to have it be somewhat loud or to feel like you're playing in front of a decent-sized crowd? I think if you have 50, it stands to reason, and it goes without saying, even in a stadium that big, it's going to feel pretty cool. You're going to be in front of a normal football crowd because 50 is what you get, or more maybe in some cases, than in a lot of NFL games and NFL stadiums. I don't know how they would do 20 in a stadium of that size. I mean, if you just pack everyone down in the lower bowl, maybe it looks kind of cool. I've never been to big-time college football ever. I mean, you went to that Texas game. If you had 20K in that stadium, is there a way to make that seem like an authentic college atmosphere?
No. I'm telling you, the din, like the background noise, it sounded like a jet engine warming up.
Yeah.
And then when it would get loud, you just can't compare it. It's there. I've been to louder things, like NASCAR events are much louder, right? But there's something that, because the engine and the noise and the way like the Doppler effect works and everything else, when they zip past you, you can feel the sound. How do I say this? The volume, not in the sense of the decibel level, because that was loud, but it's this big open stadium, but just how big it is going all the way around and everybody cheering at the exact same time. The massive sound, I guess, is the way I would try to describe it. It almost felt like it had weight to it. That was a unique experience. It's amazing.
Yeah, I'm pumped you got to do that. That's really, really cool. And I've always wanted to go to one of those, whether it's, you know, in order of the biggest stadiums right now, and I'll kind of wind this down because we got to get to our guest here in a minute. But 107,601 is the listed capacity I see for the big house at Michigan, or Michigan Stadium it's called, in Ann Arbor. That stadium, 107K, that is number one. Penn State, 106,572. Beaver Stadium is number two. Texas A&M Kyle Field is number three at 102.7. Then you've got Tennessee at 102.
Tennessee's up there,
LSU at 102. Ohio State at 102. Alabama at 101. And then Texas, where you were, which is called Darrell K. Royal Memorial. That in Austin holds 100,119.
Yep.
So that is, I think, like eighth. Georgia and UCLA round out the top 10. But next, let's talk about that plan at Ohio State. Does it have any legs? We'll find out next on G&D right here on The Fan. Other professional entities about the number of fans that Ohio State is trying to get into their stadium this year and how this might work.
So Ohio State, well, thanks for having me on. Ohio State has talked about having a reduction in the number of fans that would be normally permitted at Ohio Stadium. Normally they would have 100,000 people, and they're looking at various models that comply with social distancing measures that could have down to 20,000 fans, 22,000 fans. If more measures are relaxed, maybe 45,000 fans. So that's some of the models they've looked at, because it seems in all likelihood you're going to have to reduce the number of people in a football stadium this fall.
Joey, forgive this question. It's going to be awkward, but bear with me. In my high school chemistry class, we were told, we did this problem on the board, and we're given a couple elements over a Bunsen burner, and we're told this is what we should expect with the experiment. Well, something we didn't foresee happened, and a different element somehow got mixed with something else, and we started a small fire and had to leave the classroom, and fire extinguishers were needed, etc. Where I'm going with that is, every model and every belief that this would work, you can't really test it until it happens in real time. What happens if something goes wrong, I guess, is my the way I would phrase the question.
I mean, you're right that the stakes are higher. I mean, certainly you put a lot of people in a stadium, and it could turn into a hot spot if you're not putting in the right precautions. So I think what's probably going to be instructive for Ohio State or anybody that really puts these plans in place is you're really going to have to be diligent about who's able to go in. I mean, because they haven't yet addressed what kind of health and safety precautions that would include a stadium of that many people. Would there be rapid fire COVID-19 tests that you could test people who come in? That's incredibly expensive, so I don't know if that's how feasible that would be. But if you don't have something like that, you risk people who are carrying the coronavirus and could spread. I think the latest estimate from the CDC said about 35% of people are asymptomatic. So if you're not doing COVID-19 testing, you're certainly risking bringing the virus into a stadium with a large crowd of people.
One thing that has been talked about, Joey, is the idea of maybe taking temperatures. Like, there's devices you can use that do it kind of automatically, have a way of doing it within seconds as people come in to these stadiums. So if anyone has a fever, basically, they can't come. I don't know if that'd be something. What about masks and some of the other guidelines? I mean, has that been part of the talks at all to this point?
They've looked at all that. They've talked about looking at the idea of mask wearing, and that would be something. Maybe you require fans to wear masks for entry into the stadium. I think the issue with temperature checks becomes just you're going to miss people who are asymptomatic and could be bringing in the virus into the stadium. And you listen to a lot of public health experts and people who study infectious diseases, and that's something that they've expressed some concern about, is if you're actually not testing for the virus and you're only doing temperature checks and symptom assessments, is that you're leaving yourself vulnerable to people who would be asymptomatic carriers.
Joey Kaufman with this Ohio State football writer at the Columbus Dispatch, talking about Ohio State's potential plan to get thousands of fans in to watch college football this fall. What about concessions, stadium amenities? Because, you know, you're wearing a mask and then you lower it to scarf your hot dog and drink your soda, et cetera, right? How would that work?
Yeah, you're certainly going to have to take your mask off to eat. I think what would probably be ideal is if you're wearing the mask when you're on the concession level of a stadium and you're walking through the tunnel, you're in a restroom where you're maybe going to encounter other people. So I think all of those are more areas where you need to make sure masks are required when people are huddled in a group together. But there are a lot of things I think you're going to see, not just Ohio State, but teams across the country really explore, would be not having cash exchanged. And you're going to see, I think, getting rid of hard copies of tickets, just go to straight digital ticketing and scanning on phones, so that you don't have vendors who are touching every ticket and giving ticket back to people. So I think a lot of those measures will be implemented. It's interesting because you a big reason why the schools want fans to come to games is to make money and to sell tickets. But a lot of these measures to ensure fan safety that they're going to have to put in are also going to cost money. So it's certainly going to be a trade-off, and their costs are going to go up even as they try and sell tickets and make revenue from that.
Joey Kaufman covers the Ohio State Buckeyes for the Columbus Dispatch, joining us on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. This is just one of the many stories you've covered. How about the football side of things? I mean, what have you heard, and where are they at now in terms of when they might be able to have some students back to start training, and within not just the program but the conference, what things could look like? Because we've heard that some teams might play and others might not.
So their first step is they're going to allow players to use the Woody Hayes Athletic Center, which is the football facility on campus, starting June 8th because of the NCAA Division I Council's vote earlier this week. Football, men's basketball, and women's basketball players are allowed to be back on campus and working out. So what Ohio State said their reasoning for this is largely tied to state regulations in Ohio being eased, which are now going to see gyms and health spas and fitness centers open next month. And their thought was, well, if the players who are living in Columbus can go to the local YMCA or LA Fitness or your health club of choice, we think it would be safer to allow them to use our facilities. It's the Woody Hayes Athletic Center is a 15,000 square foot facility. They're going to allow 9 or 10 players in the building at one time. So they feel their precautions and their social distancing guidelines and recommendations are more easily followed in their facility than it would be in some other place where they can't really oversee some of the health protocols that he put in place.
Well, Joey, as you know, we're here in Washington, D.C., which is now, I guess, a satellite campus of Ohio State with the number of players from Ohio State that are now on the Redskins, thinking McLaurin, thinking Dwayne Haskins and Chase Young. Just Redskins fans are over the moon excited about Chase Young. What can they expect from him, do you think, as he translates to the pros?
He's really good. He's just somebody who was consistently, I think, productive throughout last season. And you saw maybe his sack totals dip last year in the last three games against Michigan, the Big Ten title game, and the playoff. But he was somebody who was involved in every play. And he was a fun guy to cover because whenever you saw him line up along the defensive line, he's one of those athletes where you're holding your breath and you're wondering what he's going to do next. And it seemed like he was always able to have an effect on the game in some fashion, either hitting the quarterback, either sacking the quarterback, or drawing two or three offensive linemen and freeing up somebody else on Ohio State's defensive line to make a play. Because I think that's something that got overlooked with him a little bit, is they had other guys on their defensive line, especially from the nose tackle spot, a spot that maybe you don't always envision those guys sacking the quarterback. But Chase Young was able to command so much attention that allowed other guys to make plays. And the thing with him that will be interesting is you saw Nick Bosa come into the NFL last year and have so much success with the 49ers that I think a lot of people expect Chase Young to maybe be a similar plug-and-play guy from day one.
Well, it's great information, Joey. We really appreciate it. And we're hoping to see college football and ideally in some way that we allow fans to be in stadiums and they can stay safe. We'll see if it all works out. Appreciate the insight, though. Thank you.
Thanks, Joey.
Hey, thank you very much for having me.
Buckeyes beat for the Columbus Tribune. There's Joey Kaufman on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. Again, we got to see if they end up being able to pull it off. But for now, getting outside the box and being one of the leaders in terms of any kind of planning, you got to tip your cap and hope for the best for Ohio State. Next, we saw the documentary of Michael Jordan that ESPN did, if we're allowed to call it a documentary now. Tom Brady is going to get that same treatment. A 9-part series on Brady is coming to ESPN in 2021. Next on The Fan. Michael Jordan's 10-part doc, The Last Dance, it was really more about the Chicago Bulls, I would say, kind of as a organization in their 8-year run when they won 6 championships, centered obviously around their best player, Jordan, who was at the forefront of the entire thing. But it was a smash success, Danny, and it broke every record for documentary releases from ESPN in their 30 for 30 series or any of the things that they've done. And so you would think, well, maybe they'll go back to the drawing board and try again and run this back, except that they're already 2 steps ahead of us because there is a 9-part documentary. I don't know that it's done yet. I can't imagine that it is. But that is already very much in the works. They released a trailer yesterday about superstar Tom Brady that will be coming out in 2021. I don't know if you'll agree with me here or not, but I don't think you could just do this for any of the great athletes of all time. Like, Jordan is not quite polarizing, although maybe he became that way in this documentary as people have kind of crushed him since it came out. But he is beloved, and he is a character, and he is just transcendent in a way that few players ever have been. Brady, to me, is very vanilla. You know, he's married to Giselle. He's got a heck of a life. He's one of the best players who's ever lived in the NFL. He's one of the most clutch performers, if that's a thing that you acknowledge, over the years. But I've never been particularly interested in anything he said. You know, his interviews have never been all of that worth writing about, as an example. And I watched the trailer yesterday. It was 2 minutes long, and I was bored by the end of the 2 minutes. I mean, honestly. Mm-hmm. And this is the movie trailer. This is to get you to go to the theater.
Right.
You know, if you showed me the trailer for The Last Dance, I remember seeing it and going, oh, my gosh, when does this come out?
Exactly.
But the Brady thing, it was like him saying, I was at Michigan, and I needed to make the most out of my potential, and that's what my whole career has been. And no one step I've taken has been a great step, but I look back at all my steps and my journey's been great. It's like, I'll watch it because I love content like this. I love documentaries. I love stories about athletes that, that tell me things I didn't know. But if they just think they could just do this over and over again, I think they're mistaken.
I tend to agree, and I don't think it'll be as well received. It's hard to quantify. Michael Jordan was not only the best basketball player ever to live, but he was also the Beatles and Elvis and Michael Jackson and the Pope and everybody else kind of rolled into one. His clothing line made him billions. His shoes made him, he became an NBA owner, right? Think about the transition. Like, he's a great player. Okay. He's an amazing player. Okay. People are excited to see him. Okay. He's a global icon, a phenomenon, unlike something that we've seen. I mean, the closest approximation, the next closest might be, you know, Tiger Woods or Lionel Messi or Ronaldo or a Formula One driver or somebody that I'm not even thinking of. Tom Brady's a superstar, one of the greats of all time, as you touched on. It's different. And that's why this documentary, The Last Dance, was so compelling, because of the dramatics and the speed bump in the road where Jordan leaves to play baseball. And we wanted the why. We're trying to figure out what the hell Reinsdorf and Krause and the team was thinking and how close it came to breaking up and why it did ultimately break up and the egos involved. This is, I overcame a lot of obstacles and got drafted and we won for 20 consecutive years. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not, it's nowhere near as compelling. Now, that said, I'm going to watch it. Not everything has to be perfect. The Last Dance to me was perfect. You knock it down. This is what, on paper walking in, a 7 out of 10? I'm still going to watch this Brady thing. You know, I want to see. I crave the TB12 content. I crave that snake oil salesman, Guerrero getting in his ear. I want to see all that stuff. We're not going to, but I want it. I want the dramatics. I want how ticked off Bill Belichick was at having this guy like divide the locker room in half, and they're still winning games in spite of it. I want all of it.
If you're doing a documentary and you're doing a story on Tom Brady's career, then it's got to involve Guerrero. I mean, I think if they're going to go through the end of his time in New England, obviously, and that will be must-see television. That will get massive ratings. Everybody on social media will be talking about that night whenever that airs. I mean, can you imagine him taking you through the machinations of leaving the Patriots and his final conversations with Belichick and Kraft and why he ended up in Tampa? I think that's going to happen. Can you protect that story from going public, from all of the journalists that are going to be digging before then? Because if we already know some of the details, it will water it down some. If we're learning things about his departure from New England, I think that'd be a game changer. So that's one thing they've got to try to sort out. And they're only now about 7 months away, because this is going to come out sometime in 2021. I'm thinking maybe in the winter after the football season. One thought I had, do you think that this is in any way a symbol that this could be the last year for Brady? I mean, he's doing this documentary. He signed on with ESPN. Yeah. They've been working on it for a while, I guess. Why do it now? It says he's going in-depth on his 20 years in the league and his 9 Super Bowls. Maybe you just do the doc and then you come back and you play another 2 years. But it almost feels to me like it allows him to walk away into the sunset after, you know, his documentary comes out. Think about Jordan. Some of the guys that got thrown under the bus, some of the stories he told. You couldn't have done that while you were an active player.
Right. You couldn't play 4 more years with some of those same guys. I think it's a good point. It may be setting the stage. Like, let's chronicle the swan song. You get nostalgic at the end, right? I mean, I know it wasn't anywhere near as good, but Godfather 3, that's kind of what it was about. It was like, let's look back on my life and realize what's my legacy, you know? I mean, that's kind of what this is. You tend to be more nostalgic as you sort of look back over the course of your career. You wouldn't be willing to do this, you know, in 2007, right? While you're still, you know, hungry, climbing to the top, trying to catch Montana, trying to do whatever it is that they were doing. But now that you know the end is nigh, maybe that is kind of a signal. You're right. It might be a harbinger.
Jason Smith played 11 years in the NBA, including a couple here in Washington with the Wizards. He now does TV and broadcasts about the sport. How does he think a reboot that takes place at a site like Disney would work? And how long do NBA players need to train together before we could ramp up a new season? We'll ask him those questions next right here on G&D on the Fan.
Guys, Danny Ruya here from my pals at Ted Britt Ford. 60-plus years in business, Ted Britt Ford has got your back like they got mine. 3 different time Ted Britt customer right here. I love these guys and everything that they do. They make it easy, and they want to make it easy on you right now during this tough time. They got a little something. It's called the Built to Lend a Hand program. Here's what it entails, okay? 0% financing for 84 months. on new 2019 Ford models, or $0 for 72 months on new 2020s. Ah, that's pretty legit, right? How about an F-150 from Ted Burt Ford? Your F-150 HQ, $14,700 off the MSRP. 2020 Explorers and Mustangs, $7,900 off the MSRP. 2019 Ranger truck, $7,800 below the MSRP. And you could shop online from home, right? Complete your transaction online or over the phone from the comfort of your couch. And Ted Burt Ford will deliver your brand spanking new sanitized Ford right to your front door. I love these guys and you will too. Hit them up and tell them.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.